Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, we are back with part two in our mini-series on hosting a successful event, how to negotiate with the venue. You can't have a successful event if you go broke doing it, and there's definitely a lot about getting the most for your money with event venues that isn't really in the playbook. Hotels and conference centers are not going to tell you this, since it's in their best interests and profitability to stay quiet about it when it comes to pricing. So I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman. And today, we're going to help you get a leg up on the venue in order to have a successful show, as Kim said. When we last left you on this topic, we gave you a homework assignment. Whether you are planning a real event or just thinking it through, you were tasked with coming up with an event. You should have created at least one list, perhaps multiples, depending on how organized you are.
That's right. Your list should include how many people you have coming, what type of event you're going to host, and what sort of venue you will need. You should have also included a list of meals that you'll be providing, a list of meals you'll be offering separately, what sort of after-hours entertainment you're looking at, and whether or not you'll be keeping your group together the entire time, or splitting them into smaller breakouts for different parts of your event.
Yes, and you should know how many days your event is going to run. You should have a list of weather or travel-related problems that could occur in the process of getting people to the event. Come to think of it, you might also have an idea of what happens to people who encounter issues leaving the event, like whether or not they'll have other options if they miss a flight, or there's a weather event and they can't get home. But that's not really on you. It's just a part of good planning that leaves your sponsors, if you have them, and your attendees with a pleasant takeaway from the whole production.
Okay, so we're going to stick with our original toss out of 200 people, a two-day event. We're going to hold it at a hotel, and we're going to have a budget of $10,000. We're going to work from these numbers. They make it mathematically nice. And you can adjust your numbers accordingly based on the percentages that we give you.
We also asked you to look at the likelihood that your event will either fall flat with your actual number of attendees, or if you perhaps might be oversubscribed, and how you can either handle overflow additions or if that's not a possibility.
Right. I mean, we know that everyone wants to attend a great event, and nobody wants to hang out with the crickets. If you can't get enough attendees by a certain day in the lead up to your event, it's possible that you'll have to cancel, and you need to be prepared for the out-of-pocket costs if this were to happen to you.
This is why most successful event producers only produce events, and why most amateurs don't produce multiple events.
Yeah, you know, it is true. Most people who decide to hold events either go on to have many more, or they stop at the first one if it is not what they expected or if the cost overruns are just too much.
Cost overruns. Let's talk about that first, since it's a fact of life. If you have this budget of $10,000 for the event, you should never commit to spending more than 80% of it initially. So you're going to have to find a way to keep the budget at $8,000 when you are doing your initial planning. And if you're trying to actually make money off your event, then every dollar you can shave off your cost is another dollar towards your profit. So keep that in mind.
Yes, but you have to balance making money with giving the attendees and sponsors an exceptional event that is going to make them happy to do business with you.
We'll talk about how to book speakers and plan workshops and keynotes and trade show floors in another episode. That's probably at least a two-parter just for those topics alone. There's a lot that goes on there, but it's too much to cover in this episode. So that's targeted at getting an event location nailed down within the budget.
Right. And, you know, we've talked about event sponsors in previous episodes. You can go back through the archives, and if you just search on the topic of sponsors, you will find plenty of other episodes or articles that will help you understand how to make the most of your sponsor pitches and packages.
So back to the topic. You've gotten a rate sheet from the hotel. Let's go with a hotel for the sake of discussion here, not a convention center or standalone conference space that doesn't have accommodations.
Okay, and let's say that your two-day event is sponsored. And you're going to include at least one after-hours event, although personally I think that two would be better, so you can have an early event and then a later event for those who are so inclined.
Right. And you should also think about how you're going to approach the liability of serving alcohol at your event. This is kind of off-topic, but if you are providing alcohol free of charge, then you are expecting a good amount of liability in case someone has an accident that's alcohol-related.
Yeah, you know, that's probably an entire topic unto itself. How to determine the amount of alcohol you're going to serve, the way to pay for that alcohol, the consequences of over-serving, and so on.
Right. So for our imaginary event, let's do drink tickets. Who can say two per person since it's a two-hour event? This will be an early evening one, and it isn't going to include dinner, just a happy hour.
Right, so it's like a meet and greet, and the drink tickets are going to be provided by you, whether you are paying for them or the sponsors are providing them as part of their sponsorship package.
Let's also do a breakfast event on day two, serve lunch as part of the events on both days, and we'll have a dinner event on day one that is a separate sign-up.
Right. It's important to remember that even if you have sponsors for your event and they are paying for things, there is still a budget and you're going to have to live within that budget or you'll be paying out of your own pocket. So our hotel is going to be upscale. It's going to offer 24-hour room service and it's going to have a full bar in the lobby. You're not going to be booking all of the hotel rooms, but for your 200 people that you expect to attend, you're going to commit to a block of 125 rooms that you guarantee your attendees will book to the hotel.
The hotel has given you a price of $500 for renting each of the conference rooms, $500 for the banquet room per day, and you're not going to have booths, so you aren't running a show floor at the event.
Perfect. Now, let's add in a dual track for speakers. You are going to start with a keynote speaker in the ballroom in the morning of the first day, and you're going to have coffee, tea, juice, and pastries for the attendees upon arrival. But we're going to have that served in the hallway outside the banquet room.
So the hotel will have the chairs set up for the keynote, and then they'll be breaking down the ballroom to set up for lunch after that. Since you're renting the room per day, you should maximize the use you get from it.
Right. And you know, I would actually consider scheduling a couple of speakers to do informal talks through the lunch break. That way you can leave the stage area set up in the ballroom that you used for the keynote. That makes venues happy if they aren't constantly breaking down and setting up the same tables and chairs over and over. This means a reduced labor cost for them. So you're going to want to keep that in mind. Also, once the room is set up for lunch, then they'll be able to use the same setup for dinner and again the next morning for breakfast. Yes, they'll have to pull the linens and reset those, but they're not going to have to haul tables and chairs all over the place.
Exactly. In your two conference rooms for your dual track sessions, you'll have the tables and chairs set up. You can either do rounds or long tables, and you'll want to make sure you provide water at a minimum on the tables.
You know, I also think that it's really nice when there are fresh baked cookies in the afternoon, for a lot of reasons, with like coffee and tea and water or sodas. You can reuse the table setup from the morning that had the pastries on it again for the afternoon, which means yet again, the hotel isn't having to break down and set up. They're just refreshing the linens and re-upping on the serving. So they like that.
Yes, and your rental bill initially from the venue is at $2,000. That's $1,000 for the ballroom for 2 days and $1,000 for the conference room for 2 days. They will try to charge you extra for the coffee setup, but you're still at the negotiating part for the charges. So don't worry about the incidentals until it's time to do the hard negotiating.
Right. And we have a block of 125 rooms that you expect to fill. So for the sake of argument, let's just say those rooms are going to go for $100 each per night. I mean, that's a fairly unrealistic number, but it works for easy math here. So you're looking at $12,500 per night that the hotel is taking in just for the lodging.
And if the normal hotel rate was $150 per night, then expecting them to discount to your attendees at a third off the rate is very doable, and they know this. So $100 per night it is.
All right, so next up is going to be your lunches. You should be able, outside of Las Vegas or New York City, or maybe San Francisco, to provide a decent lunch for $10 per person. And that is also likely going to be the minimum that the hotel is going to ask for. Now, in my way of looking at it, this should also include the gratuity and service charges, by the way. The hotel is going to try to tag you for taxes on top of this, so it is up to you to attempt to get a tax-inclusive price. Just keep that in mind.
Okay.
So that's $2,000 per day for lunch, and now we've eaten up $6,000 of the $8,000 budget between what's going to be spent, and we haven't even provided for drink tickets, dinner, or breakfast.
Yes, that money goes very quickly when you are dealing with hotels.
Right, so now it's your turn to go back to the hotel and negotiate the lunch price down. You're talking about 400 lunches, literally, and you should be able to get them to knock off at least 25, maybe 30% of the price after all. Doing a buffet, offering a limited menu selection, you're going to spend this money again with them in the form of drink tickets for our happy hour event, and we haven't even gotten started on breakfast for day two yet.
This is why you are making your dinner event a separate sign-up. There are plenty of people that won't show up for dinner. People that will make their own dinner plans, unless you are in a location that has nothing else available, in which case you are going to be charging at least 30% more for your sponsor packages and attendee registration costs, since you have a captive audience.
Yeah, you know, you could be absolutely sure that your venue knows the value of their location, and they're going to want to try to keep you and your entire group there as much of the time as they can.
So let's say the drink tickets are $5 per, and you are going to be getting 400 of them. If you let the hotel charge you the same price for beer, wine, and soda, they will be happy to negotiate the per ticket price way down. But if you're going to split the charges into what was actually purchased, then you'll have to know what you're going to pay more for the alcohol tickets than you are for the soda tickets. This can turn into an accounting issue and cause the lineup for getting service to be really slow. So we suggest you just go with the one ticket for all drink signups or setup and try to use 50% alcohol and 50% non for the negotiating point with the venue.
Right. So see how easy it was to just spend that $2,000 that you got discounted back on lunches for drinks? And we still haven't paid for breakfast.
Right. So you've got 200 people to feed breakfast to on day two. And it looks like you have 100 people showing up for dinner on the first night. How are you going to do this on the leftover $2,000? It sounds impossible, right?
Okay, well, the first thing that you can figure is since we are having this event in a hotel with room service, there are going to be plenty of people who will eat after they get in from after hours and sleep through breakfast, showing up just in time for the day two workshops. So if you get 100 people for breakfast, that's going to be a reasonable number. So make sure you do a buffet with a head count. Tickets, again, are a good way to manage this. The hotel will know, after all it is their business, that if you estimate 100 people for breakfast, they should plan on a 20% swing either way in the headcount. And frankly, hotels would much rather have guests ordering room service and paying the full money for that than they would having them eating a buffet of scrambled eggs and toast downstairs.
Yep, that's so right. Now you are going to negotiate with the hotel on the room rental prices to keep the budget square.
Right. Now, the hotel is going to expect you to hit them up for free use of the rooms if there's substantial food and beverage involved. Straight away, I would be going for them to comp the ballroom for the entire event. I mean, you're going to feed 600 people over the course of 2 days in that room so they can eat the charge for the rental. This nets you at least $1,000 to put back into your budget for food and beverage, and you've only spent $7,000 of your $8,000 being allocated, and everyone has had breakfast.
Yeah, right. I mean, you've got $1,000 in the budget for dinner for 100 people.
So, yeah, you do have that $2,000 cushion that we haven't spent yet, but this is why we have a cushion. I mean, this is not good. If you aren't serving alcohol for free at dinner, it's probably not that bad, but you're going to need more than $10 a head to provide dinner. You've got to find a way to get at least $5 more per head, and keep in mind that we're using very, very cheap numbers to make this math easy. In all likelihood, you're looking at twice this amount for food and beverage for something average, not even great.
And so I'm going to go back to the hotel and look to get at least half that conference room charge, maybe all of it, knocked off. Again, we're talking about 125 rooms, 200 people having multiple meals, and this is not insignificant to most venues. It isn't like you're coming in with 10 people saying, give us all this stuff for free. Although you should do it regardless of the number of people you are bringing in. You are the customer here, and as far as the hotel is concerned.
Right, so if you've got VIPs who are booking into upgraded suites, they're arriving early, they're leaving late, you know, that's just gravy for the hotel. Also, if you've got attendees who are bringing their families with them and spending time at the pool or booking activities through the hotel, they're also making good money there.
So what we are saying is that at the end of the day, you can negotiate for use of the facilities for free if you are spending on other items. Those rooms will go unused if no one is in them, and there is no way for the venue to recover lost income from them once the time they could have been used and passed.
Right, so when you are trying to decide between two or three venues for your event, you want to go with the one that's willing to work with you on the space costs. We find that it's always better to provide a more upscale experience with food and beverage for attendees and sponsors than it is to go with a nicer space but chintz out on the amenities.
Right. People don't remember that the ballroom had glit chairs that were covered with white silk cushions for dinner, but they will remember that they couldn't get a cup of coffee at 10 a.m. when they were in a hurry trying to get to a workshop because they slept in and didn't make it to breakfast.
Yep, that pretty much sums it up. Use your negotiation skills to create a better event for your attendees and let the venue worry about how they're going to increase their bottom line. Otherwise, you're just giving money away that you shouldn't be spending, and that does not reflect well on your ability to host an event.
And with that, we are going to wrap up this episode. We will be presenting more of these how-to style episodes for getting your event off the ground and solidly situated in the coming months. So we hope that you've enjoyed this one.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time. As always, if you want to reach out to us on the dominoresearch.com website, which hosts this podcast, there is contact information as well as a contact form. Or if you're looking to use mobile for your next event, you can reach out to us at the mobilewalletmarketer.com website, and we'll contact you and from there. So thanks so much. We'll see you later.